Hi everyone, just so you know, we do apologize for the bird and nature sounds in the background, although some of you may find it relaxing. With that said, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to another episode of Museums and Chill, a podcast with International Council of Museums where we talk everything and anything museums. This is Ana Paula from ICOM, and today's episode is dedicated to Pride Month, a time to celebrate the LGBTQI+ community and the ongoing fight for equality. Pride Month is a vibrant and vital celebration of identity, love, and resistance. Museums can play a powerful role in this movement, not just in June, but throughout the year. Today, we're thrilled to have with us Mario Henao, a founding member of Museo Q, a groundbreaking museum in Colombia dedicated to LGBTQI+ history and culture. Museo Q pushes the boundaries of that definition, creating a museum without walls, fostering dialogue and community through innovative storytelling and activism. So without further ado, welcome Mario, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very glad for being here.
Can you tell us about the museum and its unique mission?
I would say that our mission is unique. One of the main objectives of the museum is not only like trying to recover all the memories and the history of the LGBTQI+ community from Colombia, but trying to create networks among all the people who are doing a lot of stuff to help to recover all these memories. I would say that our mission is to create all the possibilities and all the conditions to allow that all these stories that or throughout history are being silenced due to the violence, conflict in Colombia, or the very conservative society in which we live here in this country. All these memories have the opportunity to come to the present and to show and teach us all the experiences and learning that we can take from these experiences and trying to give or try to build a space and a society in which all these differences and diversity don't be pursued for this conservative thinking and trying to create the conditions that allow people to express themselves. So one of the main objectives, and we are trying to achieve that, looking for all the people who are doing are creating art and memories and giving the opportunity to show to everybody, especially in Colombia, but hopefully not only in our country, but abroad as well.
When you refer to experiences and how to create these spaces or make them more of a welcoming space, could you tell us how Museum Q approaches the storytelling and the exhibitions and how they differ from traditional museums?
I think that the first thing that makes us a special or unique museum is that thing that you said, that we are a museum without walls. So we don't have like a building where we are exhibiting pieces or doing activities in a specific space. What we are trying to do first is like identifying people and entities that are doing something related to the LGBTQI+ community and trying to work with them. We are like some sort of intermediary, like trying to provide to these people and entities all the possibilities to show what they are doing. So that's one thing that I think makes us very different from other museums. Like, we are not in only one place. We are trying to transit to doing this thing that I think is not the most common thing with museums. Like, we are going to the places or we are going to the people. We are not expecting that people or artists or groups come to the museum to show the things that they are doing, but we are looking for them and telling them that we have a platform, that we have a team, and that we have some connections and some knowledge that we want they use it to do whatever they want, obviously always within the objectives and ideas of the museum. In a more specific way, we are focused on LGBTQI plus community, which is a very, very large community in Colombia, but it's seen as a minority, and this idea of being minority sometimes doesn't help to express all the content that the people who are part of this community can show, because we think that since we are a minority, so nobody is interested to see or to read or to consume the things that this community does. So we think that we need, and it is very important, and fortunately the government in Colombia have been taking account of this important mission, like trying to give to these minorities, not only the LGBTQI plus community, but also the opportunity to start telling their own story, not like something not in the center, but giving to these people the importance that they have during history in Colombia. So we are trying to focus on this community, giving the possibility of express themselves in a very different platforms and languages. And so I think that's what makes us very special.
Yes, I think it's quite a unique space and museum, which is just beautiful to learn from. So could you share with us some of the challenges and opportunities that the museum has had with representing the LGBTQI plus history accurately and inclusively? I guess there have been a lot of research points of view that you have to take into account whenever bringing up any specific subject, because of course intersectionality, it's quite a complex subject to be aware of when discussing any matter. So for the community, as you mentioned, it's such a broad community in Colombia. Has it been complicated to be able to tell the history and express and share the experiences accurately or inclusively?
Yes, that's very important. And that has been one of the most difficult challenges for us in the museum. When we started with the museum, there were a lot of particularities that we were aware of then, but it is still very hard to change these particularities. First of all, we were only gay men, so we knew that that was a very, very particular part of the community, which wasn't the most persecuted. And it's not a matter of like saying who is the most persecuted or something like that. But we knew that being a man, it's something that gives you some privileges that other identities don't have. So we knew that. And the other thing that was, and it is very, very important, and I think it's something that happens in all the countries, but especially in the Latin American countries, I think it's like all of us are from Bogota, so the capital city. And that means that obviously Bogota reunites a lot of different people from all the country, but it's a very like centralized speech. We knew also that, but again, it's very hard to change that, because that's one of the objectives and goals of the museum, is like trying to create network that allow us to make contact with groups and people in different parts of the country. That's hard because it's not always easy to get to this parts of the country. So one of the things that we are very aware of is like we are not speaking behalf all the community, because this idea of the community as a very specific thing is not accurate. The community is just like word that we can use to group people for a very specific objective or task, but we know that within the community there are a lot of differences, and that's the good thing, because we can learn about these differences and to know that when you identify or when you put yourself in a category, you are not being there forever. Like you are taking a position and you can learn and move from that position anytime. So that's one of the things that we are always trying to bring to our projects. Like knowing that we are talking from a very specific position that is not the position of the community or the whole community, and that allows us to know that we are just giving part of the story and that we are inviting people to help us to complete that narrative. So I will say that that's a very hard challenge, but it's something that motivates us because we know that we can, or that we have the opportunity to bring together different perspectives and not looking for unifying or for giving just one version of the stories, but trying to show that all stories are told by different people and all these versions are part of the story and the history. So it's very important that we give the opportunity to all the people to come to show what they know and what they want to say. Said that, I think that, I don't know if we are looking for accuracy when we are doing our projects, knowing that being accurate is not that easy. And maybe it's not that we are what we are looking for. Maybe we prefer keeping on this very not being the most specific museum saying or telling the story of the LGBTQ community. And as you said, this intersectionality means that when we are dealing with LGBTQI plus community, we are dealing also with other aspects of these people that makes them part of the other discriminatory groups. No, like it's not only the sexual or their orientation what makes them part of a minority, but also it's very common class aspect or the racial aspect. So we know that this is something very complicated in a good sense, no? Like it's something that has to do with a lot of elements that make these people in these communities trying to deal with different kinds of discrimination. So again, I'm just going to repeat that what we are trying to do is open a space where these people can feel comfortable to tell their stories without knowing or without the pressure of being like the voice of one community, but knowing instead that they are helping to build a story that is told by different voices. So that's our challenge. As I said, it's a very motivating challenge. And maybe, as you said in the question, it's not only a challenge, but an opportunity. And we know that we have to do a lot of things still with our museum, trying to involve people from very different belongings or from very different disciplines. But it's something that we are still trying to do. That's why we are a transit museum, that we are always changing. And just remember that one of the very difficult things with this, like, this is a voluntary museum, so sometimes we have like a lot of people working with us, but sometimes there are not that amount of people because, okay, people have to do other stuff to leave. So I would say that the most difficult challenge for us is not only like trying to involve people from different communities, but trying to keep the work all the time. And because this voluntary thing sometimes could be very hard to manage, but well, that's part of the work and of the intention that we have. We know that we have to work hard to keep the museum doing the stuff that we are doing. So we will keep facing all these challenges to try to get closer to our goal.
Yeah, I can imagine it being quite complicated to be able to include everyone's perspective, more so because as you're telling that this is a transit museum, maybe even, and this is just a guess, but maybe even worse, the level of difficulty and complexity, it's even bigger as you guys have to move and probably adapt to each space that you are, or probably get to know people in the spaces that you are, which is quite admirable and super interesting to learn from. Could you, taking into account all these challenges and, as you were mentioning, opportunities, could you then tell us any specific initiative or project that has been quite successful or the museum is quite proud of in regards of its mission?
Yes, of course. There have been a lot of projects that we have done and I am very proud of them. I'm going to share with you a couple of them. I'm going to start with the first exhibition that we did, which was in 2016. It was an exhibition about the coming out. We use a very popular phrase said by a wonderful singer from Mexico, Juan Gabriel. The sentence was the response to a question of a journalist who was trying to press Juan Gabriel to come out as a gay person. So he asked him what Juan Gabriel thought about the people who were saying that he was gay. And he answered with this amazing sentence that I'm going to say in Spanish and then I'm going to try to translate to English. I don't know if the translation is going to be the best, but he said in Spanish, lo que se ve no se pregunta, which means like what you can see, you don't ask, or something like that. So we use that sentence to ask a different artists to try to make a piece of art in which they tell how they think or how was the experience of coming out. And that was very interesting, not only because it was the first exhibition that we did, but because we found that there were a lot of people trying to find this kind of exhibitions where the content wasn't something related specifically like to the definition of homosexuality or what are the relationships between homosexuality and the society, like the state or the government, but something more like personal. And people could discuss about the importance of that experience within the community, like the LGBTQ community, which when you come out, it's like something that you think or you just think. I don't want to say that the things are the same right now, but coming out could be something very lonely. Like people think that they are alone and that they are risking like all their community because they think that maybe saying or expressing their desire or their identity will end in like losing all the people who were with them. So doing this was like the first experience when we noticed that people were trying to find places and spaces where they could build a community in a good sense of this world. And then I'm gonna say that one of the like the most successful activities that the museum has done is something that we call like Greeting the Flowers, which was at the beginning a set of tours in the Botanical Garden in Bogota. We did like this intersection between biology and queerness, and we invited a botanist to help us to talk about the sexuality of the plants and the flowers especially. And we found that there are, because this idea that queerness is unnatural is not based on scientific knowledge. And so this person, this scientist, helped us to explain how in the plant world, there are a very, very, very large diversity, which is something that we can't relate of. Queer community can't relate with plants and understand that we are not like these unnatural people, or rather we are very, very close to nature. And that was very, very successful. We did like some tours before the Botanical Garden. So the Botanical Garden after that asked us to do this kind of tours within the garden. And that was, and it is still a very successful activity. Because one of the good things of being like a transit museum or a museum without walls is like we can move our exhibitions. So we can go to different places and adapt our exhibitions to that space.
Those sound quite interesting and just amazing, so congratulations. And maybe as we are in Pride Month, we can ask you and the museum, how does Museum Q celebrate, or if you as a museum celebrate Pride Month, and what's the meaning of this month for the LGBT community in the museum sector? Could you tell us about that?
Yes, well, for us it's very particular because since we are a LGBTQI+ museum, so for us always is like a Pride Month. No? We are always thinking about what activities we have to do or we want to do related to the LGBTQI+ community. But we know obviously that this is like a perfect moment to create links and alliances with other museums and other spaces of art or of culture or of history to do activities. So one of the things that the museum does during this month is trying to get advantage, because during this month a lot of companies and people are talking about the LGBTQI+ rights. So we are trying to take an advantage of this and trying to get to more people. So one of the things that we have done during the years is like, for example, last year we invited someone who knows a lot about the LGBTQI plus community history in Colombia. So we made some tours in the historical part in Bogota, and this person was telling about these places, what were the relationship with the LGBTQI plus community, how these places have changed during the last years, thanks to the changing on the politics and the approach from the government to these communities. Because obviously one of our main goals is to help build the history and bring all the memory of this community. So we want that people who come to the museum activities not only experience or go to see an exhibition, but they learn something about the history of the community and how that history is important for our present. So this month is perfect for that, because we are celebrating this month because something happened a lot of years ago, or like 4 decades or 5 decades ago. So it's not that we are just using a month to be gayer than we are, but we are trying to remember people that we are commemorating something, that there is something that happened in the history, and that we have to remember that in order to know why we are in this specific moment, why we have the privilege or the problems or the questions that we have in this moment. And that this is not only that happened during June, but June is like a perfect moment to put people to talk about that loudly. So that's what we as a museum try to do during this month. And I think that's one of the things that all the museums should use to put in their institutions all the LGBTQI plus community, because we have been throughout history put aside. So having a month where we know that we can be in the center is important. And I think the museums institutions, they know that. Even if they know that doing that, they are trying to get a profit of this community, I think that's important as well. It's not that something that is a win-win. I think it's important that these museums are all the cultural institutions, are even the companies that during this month put the rainbow flag in their walls, use all that intentions not only to show that they are part of or that they support the community, but really putting the discussion, you know, to talk about that, you know? Like, for example, it's not only like showing some artists from the community, but talking about how they are engaged with the community, if these museums or these institutions have people from the LGBTQI plus community, or how they are trying to get closer to this community, bring people from this community to the museum, not only as a customers or as an audience, but as people who are helping to build the narratives in the museums, to tell their stories, and to question all the traditional way in which museums or cultural institutions have shown the history of not only the LGBT community, but the society in general.
Thank you for sharing how to hear from the community to understand what the community wants from museums. So thank you for sharing point of view in that sense, because it's pretty important. Lastly, we have come to the last part of the episode, which is a rapid fire question section. And it's just two simple questions in regards to our guests. So our first question is, could you share with us your favorite museum or one museum that you would like or love to visit?
Okay, this is not that easy as I thought. I will say that one of the museums that I enjoyed the most was the Museum of Sex in New York, because the day that I visited this museum, there was an exhibition about queerness in nature. So it was one of the first time that I saw that there were a lot of people trying to link the LGBTQI plus community with nature and the animals. A lot of different things that we, or that I thought that were only human activities.
Thank you for sharing your experience. And then the second and last question is, a song to listen in a museum.
What a great question. A song to listen in a museum. I'm thinking like something in Spanish. Okay, yes. So since I mention Juan Gabriel.
I would say that I would like to go to a very like big museum like the Met or the Louvre and listen Hasta Que Te Conocí by Juan Gabriel, which is like a very, very romantic song. And I think that will be a very interesting experience singing for myself that song while I'm seeing one of the Van Gogh's paintings. It would be very interesting.
Sounds like an experience. Definitely we'll try it one day. And then we've come to the end of our episode. So thank you for tuning to this episode to all of our audience. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Mario. Don't forget to visit our ICOM website at icom.museum for more episodes and much more museum-related content and initiatives. Thank you, Mario, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.